And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is Monday, August the 14th, 2017, 8:14:17, 12:11 p.m. coming up on 12:12 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And if you can believe this, this is the start of the week that the kids go back to school. Marion City schools start back on Thursday, August the 17th. So it's right around the corner. Summer is almost over. But summer might be over, but the summer fun is not over, because a few weeks ago, we had Mary Ellen Withrow on with us, filling in for Charlie Evers while he was on vacation one day. And we got into talk of recipes. And Mary Ellen was talking about how she used to pass out recipe cards when she was campaigning for office. So this opened up a whole new door that we did not get to talk about. So today we are going to do a cooking show here, recipe show, I guess is what you'd call it. It's not we're not going to cook this stuff here for people, unfortunately, but Terry Tackett's along with us, and I'm sure along the way we'll discuss some of the current events of the past weekend, but the main topic today is going to be food. So that's a topic everybody can wrap their mind around.
I definitely can.
and we've had lunch here this afternoon, yes, so we're all ready to go. We're all tooting for this. Now, Mary Ellen, for people who didn't hear that show weeks ago, of course, Mary Ellen Withrow with us, 40th Treasurer of the United States. How did the whole recipe thing start?
Well, I always knew that women would save recipes. That's one thing we like to collect, you know?
Yeah.
And so when I ran for office for county treasurer, I had I took some of my favorite recipes and passed them out. And then that continued on all the time I ran for office. I used that method. And people did save them.
Now, when you were were you a cook? Did you like to cook?
Well, I had to cook.
You had to cook.
I had a family.
It was a forced thing. Do you think as many people cook now as used to cook?
Probably not. Yeah.
What do you think has been the change? Because I don't think people cook either.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the prepared food you can get at the grocery store. It's very convenient, and a lot of it's frozen, a lot of it isn't, but that is a great thing for, especially, I think, older people.
I think the microwave changed people's lives in a certain way. I think people got away from recipes. But I do think recipes are healthier.
Well, yes, probably they are. And sometimes you'll make a recipe and you went to all that work and then you don't like it, you know.
I had a conversation a while back with somebody about recipes, and I said, you know, I think of a recipe as artwork, that you really work on it, you really perfect it, and your dish can really be a work of art.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot goes into making something out of scratch.
Oh, that's right. Well, yesterday we had they had a hog roast. Our church had one. And everybody brought a dish. And I said, I wish I could get the recipes for all of those dishes because they were all good. And, in fact, that's what we had a club called the Junior Federated Women. And we would have a tasting tea every year. And we would sell tickets for the tasting tea, and then they would get the copies of the recipes that we served at the tasting tea. And it was a big event, and we made quite a bit of money doing that. We did it for several years.
Now, Terry, did you ever have any luck in the kitchen in your life?
Not till later here. I just practiced a couple of dishes, nothing too extravagant or whatever, but I'd purchased for $10, I think it was, I got a crock pot. So I've been making a lot of stuff, and I made a few things in a crock pot.
You know what lady I don't like? I don't like that lady who's on at 4 o'clock in the morning, that dump cake lady.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
Oh, my God. At 4 in the morning.
I think she has the red hair.
Next time I see this woman, I'll call you Mary Ellen. Yeah. Because what she does is she comes on, and this is her theory in life. It sounds so stupid. But she does an infomercial at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and her idea for baking any kind of pie is, forget measurements and all that. Just put it all into a bowl and then dump it into a cake pan and then cook it. And they're called dump cakes.
Yes, I've heard of them.
Yeah, I thought, what a thing.
Yeah.
You know, hey, did somebody bring the dump cake? I don't think that sounds very good.
No, it doesn't sound very good.
Well, it doesn't look very good.
Well,
it,
what station is she on?
I think, well, she's on, what is it, like Channel 6 will run infomercials in the middle of the night. I've seen her on Channel 6. She's not on the news channels, thank goodness.
She's on a lot of cable channels.
She's on a lot of cable.
Yeah, I watch a lot of A&E, and she's on A&E.
Anytime I see that red hair coming at me in the middle of the night, I know we're about to dump some cherry cake together. And that's all it is. It's
We used to have a cake called an emergency cake. It was when you wanted a dessert fast. And it was my mother-in-law called it emergency cake, but I ended up using the one that was on the Bisquick box. I forget what the name of it was. It wasn't emergency cake, but it was velvet crumb cake.
Oh.
And it was on that Bisquick box for years. And then about a year ago, I noticed it wasn't on there anymore. But you can find it on the computer if you bring it up.
Well, I remember, and it's still true. I checked. I hadn't checked for a long time. If you still buy Cool Whip, I don't know about the generic whipped creams, but if you buy the Cool Whip, there is still a recipe under the lid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I love recipes with Cool Whip. I really do. I like to take a box of Jell-O and some crushed pineapple or pineapple tidbits and Cool Whip, and you've got a good dessert.
You know, the one I do, and I always have some of it in my refrigerator, and I'm not diabetic, but for all the diabetics out there, this is a sugar-free dessert. What I do is very similar to that. I take a thing of whipped cream, Cool Whip, a tub, and then I take sugar-free Jell-O, the powder.
Right.
Don't make the Jell-O. Dump the powder in, and then take a tub of cottage cheese and put that in.
Yeah.
And just stir it up. And that's a delicious little dessert.
You know, I agree with you. Cottage cheese is really good in with the other one I mentioned. You could put cottage cheese in that.
And I've heard people do that with fruit cocktail.
Cottage cheese and fruit cocktail?
Cottage cheese, fruit cocktail, Cool Whip, and some kind of Jell-O.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you don't even have to turn the oven on to make
that's
that
right,
one.
Right.
And the flavors you get, because now Jell-O has 75 different flavors, you can flavor that so many ways.
Yeah. You know, I had a wonderful key lime pie recipe. It started out with key lime Jell-O, and I can't find key lime Jell-O now, but they used to have it. And then you would get key lime yogurt, and you put it into a graham cracker crust along with Cool Whip, and it was in nothing flat. You had a pie.
When I was in college, I worked at a local restaurant here in town, and I worked in the bakery part. I didn't bake anything, but I was the salesperson, so I worked out near the case. And I remember the year key lime pies came in, and people loved them, but they were seasonal. Now, I don't know, what is seasonal in a key lime pie?
Well, I don't know, because I looked for it down in Florida, the key lime Jell-O. I looked for it here. It's nowhere. They quit doing it.
It's all gone.
Yeah, so you think maybe they think it's seasonal and they only make it a certain time?
I haven't seen a key lime pie in a long time in a store. Have you seen any key lime desserts, Gary?
There's a lot of it in Florida.
Florida's a big key lime area.
I know. Even a couple of weeks ago, we had a little family get-together, and we always took the strawberry pies from Bob Evans, and they said those are seasonal.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, those are good.
Yeah.
Well, strawberries, I think, are seasonal.
Yeah.
Because
it's one of the things I had no idea. I just thought you could get them year-round. You know, I had no idea, you know. But
Limes are year-round, so that I wouldn't see why that would be seasonal.
You know, key lime became a color. Because
a
color that you know, if you want to paint your walls, you can do them key lime, key lime green, or key lime yellow, or whatever they call that. But the key lime pie has a taste, It's a little tart taste, but not like lemon.
Yeah.
It's a little less, I thought. But very, very good stuff. Now, if you could have anything, Terry, we'll go around robin here on this.
Okay.
A meal. Homemade meal.
Homemade meal.
Not through the drive-thru.
Yeah.
What would you have?
But you know what? I'm really a sucker. I love homemade lasagna.
Your homemade lasagna?
I do.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Now, do you like it with the ricotta cheese?
I do.
See, I hate ricotta cheese.
No. I like it that way, or I've had it with cottage cheese. It's both very good.
I just leave that out altogether.
Oh, do you?
I just mozzarella cheese, noodles, marinara sauce. I use marinara, but sometimes you use the. It's not tomato sauce because it's got meat in it.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but
like the ragu.
Prego.
Pasta sauce, whatever they call it. Yeah.
But I do not like ricotta cheese, that's why I don't eat lasagna if I go to like a cookout or something.
Sure.
Because I never know. Because a lot of times you can't find out who made the thing.
Yeah.
To ask them if it's in there.
Right.
And a lot of times you don't see it because the sauce has dripped over it. But there's something about ricotta cheese and sour cream that I don't like.
Really?
Oh, really?
No, I can't eat sour cream either. I don't like it.
I'll be done.
Oh, I love sour cream.
Yeah.
In fact, I have a potato salad recipe that I call it wedding potato salad. It's all white. And it's cottage cheese and sour cream and mayonnaise and potatoes and onions and, it's really good.
That's an interesting touchstone word. I had a conversation on the radio a couple weeks ago about mayonnaise, because if you go into a restaurant and you order mayonnaise, they bring you Miracle Whip, which is not mayonnaise.
Oh, well, okay.
Right, but I mean, is it mayonnaise or Miracle Whip?
It's a Miracle Whip.
Miracle Whip. Uh-huh. Now, when did mayonnaise get confused?
I don't know.
It's weird, because if they would bring you mayonnaise, I bet people would not like it.
Well, there's a big difference between Hellman's and Miracle Whip. Sometimes you want Hellman's because it's not as sweet,
Miracle Whip, and somebody out there correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't it start as a salad dressing? That you would make a salad and then you'd stir in the Miracle Whip and people would eat the salad like that.
I suppose that's right. I don't know for sure, Scott.
But somehow that became mayonnaise.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing when you think about it.
Yeah, it is.
I'm also fascinated that the number one condiment in the United States right now is salsa.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
Has passed ketchup as the number one salsa.
People using it for a lot of different things.
Yeah. So, Marianne, if you could have any meal homemade, what would you have?
Well, I like a lot of things, but probably my favorite is ham loaf and I like cheesy potatoes.
Oh, those are good.
Me too, yes.
And a nice salad. Yeah, that would be it.
Now, to me, it seems simple, but I like a good baked potato and salad.
I love baked potatoes, too.
Baked potatoes, oh my goodness. When you can get them just right with the butter and you don't overcook the potato and the potato doesn't have any bad spots in it, those are good. But a good salad, you can do salads 75 different ways.
Yes.
And they're always good.
They are.
A friend of mine told me there's a place in Columbus where they went and got a steak or whatever and a baked potato, and they substituted. They had French onion dip on the sour cream.
Yes.
They got butter and French onion dip.
Yeah.
They said the French onion dip would be really good on baked potatoes.
You know, a lot of times I would use the French onion dip in that potato salad instead of sour cream.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would put the onion in it without...
Oh, without making it.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Well, I've seen people at the holidays now, instead of using French onion dip for potato chip dip, use veggie dip. Ranch veggie dip.
Yes. Yeah, I just had that not long ago. I had never tried that before.
It's good.
Yeah,
it's very good on a potato chip.
I love the flavor of it, yeah.
So now we'll go round robin with this one. If you had a favorite homemade dessert, what would it be?
You know what I really like, for a homemade dessert, and I don't really get it a lot, but I like your homemade, I think they're called like coffee cakes or crumb cakes or something. I like those.
Yeah.
Those are
now, are you a fan of coffee?
I don't like coffee, but I enjoy those cakes.
So what do you have with the coffee cake?
I just have a nice glass of milk.
Milk and some coffee cake. Yeah. And do you warm it?
Sometimes, yeah. If I do throw it in, not very long, maybe 10, 20 seconds, maybe in the microwave.
Just you know what I always wonder? When people wanted to warm cakes before microwaves, how did they do it? Did they just put it in the oven?
Probably, yes. There is a setting on the oven I have for warm, which is good.
Yeah.
But I don't think my other ovens used to have it.
Now, because I would be afraid then you'd overcook it if you didn't have that warming.
Well, yeah, you turn on your oven, warm it, and then turn it off and put your cake in there and just warm it up.
The last 2 years, I have made Thanksgiving and welcomed... You know, had the Thanksgiving dinner at my house, and I can tell this now because nobody died. But, I mean, here's the truth: I had never made a turkey, and people kept saying, and I was the only one there. You know, nobody else to witness the crime, and they told me, they said, "Well, you need to get this bag, you know, because basting and all that, that's old, that's out. Just get the bag; you can prop it in, everything will be fine." So I go out. And I get the turkey and I get the bag. And boy, thawing out a turkey. Oh man, you got to start in September thawing
this thing. That's a week long process.
Oh, yes. My. And I tell you, I sweat blood over thawing that thing out.
Yeah.
Right. I check it every morning and I thought,
I think everybody goes through that. Yeah. That hasn't tried it before.
Cold water.
You have to do it for a while.
Yeah.
So I read the bag instructions and it says flour the bag. So nothing sticks to the bag because it's just a plastic bag. So I do. I flour the bag, and it says, you know, pull the legs. Usually have that bar on the turkey. You pull that off, and I did all that, and put it in and cook it. Boom. And I thought, okay, fine. We've done this. So it's in there, and I'm getting everything else ready. I'm cooking the baked beans. I'm browning the rolls, and I'm doing all this. And I'm looking at the turkey, and boy, it looks lightly brown. It looks delicious. This is going to be the best thing that ever happened. So people start arriving about this time, and I didn't have the turkey out. So I thought, well, it's time to take the turkey out. So I pulled the turkey out with the pan and the bag and all this, and it looks delicious. And I sit it down, and I take the bag off. And you have to pull the bag off gently at this point because the turkey's hot. So I get that bag off there, and I throw it with the juices into the garbage can. And I'm starting to cut the turkey. You know, you cut it into pieces so you can put it on things. Now here's something I did not realize. Nowadays, when you buy a turkey from a store, they take the giblets and they put it in a plastic bag and they stick it up inside there. And I get to the business end of this turkey and I had left the plastic bag with all the giblets and stuff in the 375 degree oven for the last 4 or 5 hours, which of course melts the bag. And that stuff is in there and it's not cooked. So I tell you what I did. I said, you know, I didn't want to look like a buffoon on this particular excursion. So I said, hey, I got some new Christmas decorations. Everybody go outside and look at those. So when they left, I just picked that turkey up and shook everything that was inside of it out in the garbage can, put it on a plate, and nobody got sick or died. It was fine.
Yeah, it was done right.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know if it was done right, but nobody complained.
Yeah.
But I was shaking that turkey because I didn't know what else was going to fall out of the inside of that thing. That thing was crammed full. But you know what I love at Thanksgiving? This is cranberry sauce.
Oh, yes.
And I go to so many houses now because people have their Thanksgivings on the Sunday before, and nobody brings the cranberry sauce.
I always take cranberry sauce.
Oh, I love the cranberry sauce.
Yes, I do too.
You know, and I like it in the can, where you peel the and it just goes, makes that plop.
Oh, you mean it's the jellied?
The jellied.
Well, yeah, I like that. Okay, but I think I'd rather have the kind that is not jellied.
Do you like turkey, Terry?
I do.
Because I'm fat. Why can't you buy turkey all year round? Turkey's very healthy.
You can, really. You can get a breast. You can just buy the breast, you know.
But I always wonder why they don't sell the big turkeys, because they're not that expensive.
Uh-huh.
In the long haul, they're not that expensive. Right. But I tell you, Thanksgiving can be a great thing. So you were coffee cake.
Yeah.
What's your favorite homemade dessert, Mary Ellen?
Rhubarb pie.
Rhubarb?
Yes. Oh. I love rhubarb pie.
That's unique.
Yeah.
What goes into rhubarb pie?
Rhubarb. And lots of sugar.
Ask and you shall receive.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
If I'm going to have it, I like a homemade carrot cake.
Oh, it's good, too.
Because that icing you put on there, that cream cheese icing, that's very good. What was the process in putting the recipes on the cards? Were there certain recipes you used?
Yeah.
Recipes you didn't want to use?
No, I...
Did all of them have the same recipe, or did you do different ones on different...
At different times, I did different recipes, but I passed out the same ones for a long time. Then this was for county treasurer, and then I passed out the same one for state treasurer, and then I went into some different types of presentation. It was interesting. We had a lot of fun with it. Let's see here. We started with the folders like that, and
I like this first one, Norman's potatoes.
Yeah.
Oh, Norman, yeah. Mary Ellen's husband.
Mary Ellen's husband, potatoes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chicken spectacular.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, give us the recipe for chicken spectacular.
Cinnamon apple salad and scallop corn.
Oh, now that cinnamon apple salad is one of my favorites.
That one just looked good.
I really like that, but I only put half in. Let me see here.
It's on the other page.
Okay.
Yeah, the top one there.
Well, it was, recipes used to be too sweet.
Too much sugar.
Yes. But now this doesn't have sugar in it, but when you put the, this is a different recipe here. The one I was thinking was on here was with applesauce.
Oh.
And you use the applesauce that's not sweetened, and that way it's.
Would it be like a sugar-free applesauce or something?
Well, it's not so sweet because your Jell-O is sweet.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, but this is a different recipe than what I was thinking of there.
Hey, Terry, will you bring one of those over to me here?
Sure.
Read some of these recipes off on the air.
Here, why don't you take this one?
Yeah.
Here, these are the.
Okay.
So if you're at home and you want a recipe, get a pencil here, because in about 3 minutes, we're going to read off some of these recipes from Mary Ellen Withrow. They used to be for years. You remember the Orbit cookbook, Mary Ellen? It was a local cookbook. I think they only did it 2 or 3 years. But what they would do is they would put a call out in the newspaper. It might have been strictly the radio, but they'd put a call out to people in the town who had recipes, and they would just take them all for free. Or maybe you had to donate like $5 or something for the cost of producing the cookbook. And then they would put everybody's local recipes in the cookbook.
Well, I'm not familiar with that.
They delivered it in the mail. Is that right?
I think it was free. It was a free delivery.
Yeah.
I think
they
struck a deal with the Star where it would just come in a newspaper.
Yeah, but that's how they paid for the production of the... Yeah, like $1, maybe $2, something you had to pay for. Yeah,
you remember the Orbit cookbook,
yeah.
I have one of those somewhere. I'll have to bring that in sometime.
All right,
could have brought
Scott,
that in today.
Chicken spectacular.
Okay, go ahead. Here, now, wait a second. This is the recipe for chicken spectacular.
This is Mary Ellen's recipe for chicken spectacular. 3 cups of chicken... cooked and diced, or you can substitute turkey, a box of long grain and wild rice blend, 2 cans of green beans, French style, 1 can of water chestnuts sliced, 1 can of creamy celery soup, 1/2 cup of pimentos, and 1 cup of mayonnaise.
Nice.
Mix well, then bake at 350 degrees for 30 minutes, Becky's favorite when she's at home, by the way.
Oh, so you just dump that all in. Just dump all those ingredients.
And just bake it at 350, and then invite Becky over to have some.
Becky can have some of this.
And then she has a note on here that nationally, Ohio is ranked 8th in the production of egg-laying chickens, 20th in the production of broilers, and 14th in production of turkeys.
Oh, well,
so
that
little,
is
little side note there with the
little factual information.
I tell you what, I'm loving this recipe for Norm's potatoes, man. Well, I'm loving this. This is great.
Norm's potatoes.
Cook three medium-sized potatoes until tender but not soft. Drain, peel, and slice. Add 1 cup of cottage cheese. Oh my! Yeah. A half a cup of sour cream. 1 cup of finely chopped celery. A tablespoon of grated onion and a half to 2/3 a cup of mayonnaise for salad dressing. And your note on that one is, chip potatoes are the majority type in Ohio. However, table potatoes are abundant in the northwest corner of Ohio.
Oh, very nice. Now, see, here's one for cheesecake. Now, cheesecake, you can really screw up cheesecake very, very easily. I've messed cheesecake up so many times. You get
thank
that.
Thank God for GFS.
Yeah, that's right. You got it right down to the store. Okay, now this is good. One old lemon. See, I would like this because I like lemon pie.
Oh,
lemon meringue pie.
Okay.
Oh, is that on? Oh,
this
yeah.
is a good recipe. This is cheesecake.
Yeah.
That's probably my second favorite dessert.
Lemon pie.
Yeah. Lemon pie. We have a 1 package of lemon Jell-O.
Okay.
1 cup of boiling water. And you chill until that begins to set. So basically, you make the Jell-O. Perfect. 24 graham crackers rolled. So you have to crush them all up and then roll them out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Graham cracker crust. 1 large package of cream cheese, 1 1/2 cup sugar, and you cream it together. And then 1 can evaporated milk chilled, 1 tablespoon of vanilla, and you beat that until stiff. Combine all ingredients except the cracker crumbs. Put half the cracker crumbs in the bottom of a large Pyrex flat dish, and then pour in combined ingredients, topped with remaining crumbs. So you don't even cook this, Marianne.
No.
It's just a cool cheesecake.
Yeah, right.
Then you refrigerate it, I imagine? Or, okay,
yeah,
okay.
Refrigerate it.
Now... Mm-hmm. So it's in a bowl. It's not so much you wouldn't cut it up like a cake, would you?
It's in a,
like a pie pan.
Cake pan. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, the oblong.
Oh, yeah.
What is it, 11 by 9 or what is it?
Yeah, I think those typical.
Yeah, I can't think of the measurements.
Now, does this.
That sounds good, too.
It sounds good. Does it have a lemony taste to it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I would like that.
Yeah.
That's not a bad one at all.
I've made that a lot, yeah.
Now, could you substitute, if you were diabetic in making this for somebody, like a Splenda or an Equal for the 1 1/2 cup sugar?
Well, what I do? I'd only put in a cup of sugar.
Just knock down the sugar.
Yeah, okay. Instead of a cup and a half. Yeah.
Because I wonder if it'd give it a different taste, though, if you did like a Splenda. It'd probably give it a different taste.
I have never used Splenda, even though I'm diabetic.
You just cut your sugar intake. Yeah. Is that what you do?
Yeah.
Just cut the sugar intake.
Yeah.
It's do you find it hard to eat around being diabetic?
No, I don't. I know what to eat and what not to eat pretty much. So. Yeah, I've got it pretty well under control. I have had for many years,
Now, Terry, you were diagnosed diabetic last year. How have you found it?
Well, last year was a lot easier than this year because of all the things that happened. So you stress eat. Yeah, I need to get back on it again, and I kind of watch it, but not as well as I did last year.
I think stress affects your... I really do because I'm stressed, mine goes up and it has nothing to do with what I've eaten. Yeah,
sure. I think a lot of mine too, when I got diagnosed, a lot of mine too was I ate at the wrong time.
Yeah.
You're eating the wrong stuff plus the wrong time doesn't help anything.
Yeah.
You eat and immediately go right to bed. And that never.
Yeah, I think you should eat lightly in the evening, eat your big meal at noon. And I don't eat hardly anything in the evening.
Now, what if you get hungry right before you go to bed?
Well, I'll eat a little something, just not much. Maybe a spoonful of ice cream or something. I don't eat much of anything in the evening. Mm.
And I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Because it's that late night eating that causes all the problem.
Yeah.
And I've tried to, when I get home in the evening, it's usually 7, 8 o'clock, I try to eat right then.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm going to be up probably until 11, 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
So hopefully the things have settled. But, last night was a strange night. Speaking of food, I didn't eat much. Actually, Terry had stopped by and left, and I had really hadn't had anything for dinner, so I decided I'd eat some dinner then before I, got ready to go to bed. And it was like 10 o'clock, and I had some hamburger, and then I had some of that cottage cheese stuff with the Jello, raspberry Jello. And I don't know if it was eating later than I normally eat, but I kind of got the upset stomach last night, and it was normal stuff that I would...
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if I overate because I was hungry or if I just ate late in the evening, but I don't know why. That was very strange.
Yeah. Sometimes you can't put your finger on why things happen the way they do with your food. Yeah.
Well, last week when I was at work, I'd seen an article or something, or somebody had brought me in one that... Because we have a lady that's diabetic, and she's always kind of looking out for me and stuff, so she's always bringing in these different things. And she brought in an article. There was a professor, I want to say he was in like Louisiana or something, down with, and of course, the food down there, the Creole and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He had said something about a 7-7 rule. Don't eat before 7 in the morning or after 7 at night. And he had a trial where he had, 50 or 100 patients that he did this with, and they lost an average of... like 15 or 20 pounds each.
Well, I don't know about the before 7 in the morning, but I agree with after 7 at night.
Yeah, he called this thing the 7-7 rule.
Yeah.
Don't eat before 7 in the morning or don't eat after 7 at night.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do Mary Ellen's gumdrop bars here in a second. That sounds good.
Now, I made those just 2 days ago.
Oh, really?
And
you didn't bring any for the class.
I should have.
Oh, my goodness,
Mary Ellen. Because I shouldn't be eating them, really.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this. I'm sure there's something.
Oh, I love the gumdrops.
Yeah.
Gumdrops. Yeah. Okay, here's what you got to do. Now, it's 4 eggs beaten well, 1 tablespoon of water, 2 cups light brown sugar, 2 cups flour, 1/2 cup of chopped nuts, and 1 cup of the gumdrops, not the spicy ones, like the cinnamon ones. Don't get those.
No.
Right.
Just straight gumdrops.
Straight gumdrops, and chop them. And salt. You need salt. Now, mix in order. Bake for 30 minutes at 350 in the oven. Put in a well-greased, floured baking pan. While still hot, ice with the following. Oh, this is interesting. The icing, 2 tablespoons of orange juice, 2 tablespoons of butter, and enough powdered sugar to make it thick enough to spread.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And then you cut into the bars. So what does that icing taste like with the orange juice?
It is such a good flavor.
Is it like a sherbet almost?
Yeah. I can't explain it, but I love that flavor of that frosting. And
That sounds like a that's
now, does the with the gumdrop bars, what does the cake taste like?
Well, it's... you got nuts and gumdrops, so it's chewy. It isn't real light, but it's light enough. Yeah.
Do you cut these in big pieces?
I try to get it in fine pieces if I can.
Smaller pieces?
Yeah, I try to cut it real fine.
Now, this would be a great dessert because it's only a 30-minute cook time.
Yeah. Gosh, I'm really sorry. I could have brought you.
I never thought
of it.
No, this is good. Sounds great.
This is a delicious thing.
Yeah, that sounds delicious.
Now, do you still like to cook, Mary Ellen?
Yeah, I still like to cook. It's just that we don't eat much anymore. You know how it is. You don't want leftovers 3 nights in a row.
Yeah, that's right.
But because when you cook for a big group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was used to it because I had... there was 6 of us, and so it was you had a dish once, and that was it. But I still like to cook, but I don't cook very much. Yeah.
Now, what is your go-to dish if you're invited somewhere like a potluck or something like that?
Well, what do I take usually? A lot of times I take potato salad, it depends on whether I'm going to get there right away or it's going to set for a while, A lot of times I would take baked beans. I really like baked beans. And, boy, at the cookout yesterday. It was, they had some really good baked beans there. I like bacon in it, and flavored up really good. You know?
Yeah. Now, how you talked about the wedding potato salad. How do you make that?
Well, that's with your about four or five potatoes and your mayonnaise and your. I sometimes use the. The sour cream with
the French onion.
French onion dip. Yep. I either use the French onion dip or sour cream, and
boy, the flavor of that. I mean, it just brings a flavor to everything. Yeah. Even beside, I mean, it's really good.
Yeah, and let's see the mayonnaise, the sour cream, and the
cottage cheese.
Yeah. So. And onion, I put onion in. If I don't have onion in something else, I put in it. And I sometimes put celery in it too. But it's a nice recipe for you want a more dressy potato salad.
So many different varieties of potato salad.
Oh, there are. Everybody's tastes different.
Oh, and now everybody wants to bring the Amish potato salad.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand that because to me, I really don't like the taste of the Amish potato salad.
Don't you?
No, I like just homemade, you know, just simple potato salad. But I prefer macaroni salad to potato salad anyway.
I think I do too, as far as an ordinary potato salad. But I like a potato salad recipe too that has a teaspoon of vinegar in it because that gives it a really good flavor if you're doing the eggs and all of that.
Boy, I'll tell you, vinegar has become the thing for everything. Everybody likes vinegar. You know, we are getting a phone call here.
Okay.
Hey, go ahead, caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, go ahead.
I have a recipe for Mary Ellen.
Oh, go right ahead.
Okay, real simple. Mary Ellen, do you know what cinnamon drops are?
Yes,
Well, they're hard to find nowadays, but you can find them in some of these wholesale places. They'll sell them in quantity. But if you can find some cinnamon drops, that's a real quick recipe. Have you ever gone to the grocery store and seen those pie crusts that are in boxes and rolled out, or that you can roll out?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Sure. Uh-huh. So you take one of those pie crusts.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, you want to thaw it out and make sure it's pliable. Put it on a round pie pan or cookie sheet or pizza pan and spread butter over it after you spread it out. Then spread it with either or both brown sugar or white sugar. Remember, you put your butter out over it, and you spread your sugar out over it. And of course, the sugar will adhere to that butter. And then you spread, take cinnamon and sprinkle cinnamon over the top of that. And then you put red drops, as many as you want. I recommend you put enough red drops on it to make the top look red. I mean, like you know how beautiful those red drops can be anyway.
Yes, uh-huh.
And so you just sprinkle those over the top, put them in your oven for, it depends on what, you could put 325 in the way up to 375, depending on how long you have to cook this. And then watch them, and when it's a golden brown, those red drops will melt, and you pull it out of the oven when it's ready, and let it cool, and it is the most marvelous cookie you've ever eaten. Now you just break it up when it cools, and
now,
you have little pieces of red drop cookies that are delicious.
Well, that's interesting. So
I would only think about
what is 12
minutes.
What are these? What are the? Did we get the inside of the cookie? What goes on top of the pie? You got the butter, and the sugar, and the cinnamon.
Right. Then after you put the butter, the cinnamon, and sugar on, you drop the red drops over the top of it.
And that's it?
That's it.
Just flat on the crust.
Yeah. Now, these are the what I call the red hots, those cinnamon drops. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Red hots, right.
Uh-huh.
Now, those will melt. And you know the coating that's on a candy apple?
Yeah.
It looks like that.
Is that right?
And it's not only just beautiful,
yeah,
but you can have that done in 15 minutes.
Yeah, that sounds good.
15 minutes?
Yeah.
15 at 325.
325. Now, if you're going to cook it at that temperature, it'll cook a little slower and it'll be a little bit more tender. If you want to cook it a little hotter, you just got to keep a close eye on it, but it'll cook real fast. And you want to make sure it's just like browning a pie crust. Have you ever made a pie and you put the pie crust in the oven and let it brown before you serve it or before you put the other ingredients in it?
Yes.
It's the same principle. You just want that. And I call it a red drop cookie.
Red drop cookie.
How much sugar, though? I'm curious about how much sugar you put.
Well, I heard you talking about you reduce sugar. You can put as much sugar on it as you want.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's up to you then. Huh?
That's up to you. Yeah. Now, you can make it with brown sugar. You can make it with white sugar. Or you can combine the both.
Yeah.
You know what I do is I soften my butter and wash my hands real good. Take a handful of butter and just spread it over the top of that pie crust. Then I add the sugar. Now, you know what Cinnamon Toast is?
Yes.
Well, have you ever made that ingredient where you mix cinnamon and sugar together?
Yes.
And over?
You're right.
If you've got one of those bottles ready for your Cinnamon Toast, use the same mixture.
Yes, okay.
Just sprinkle it over the pie crust with the butter, and then add your red drop.
Yes.
Now, again, the more red drops you add, the prettier it's going to be, and the more it's going to be appreciated.
Red drop cookies. Well, hey, thank you, caller.
Red drop cookie. It's a single cookie.
Oh, just one cookie.
But when it's done and it cools, you break it up and you've got, I guess you'd call it cookie chips.
Yes.
Oh, I got like the old hardtack candy.
No, there's not that many red drops on it. You just want to cover. You don't want it to be hard.
Be sparing with the red drops.
Well, yeah, you don't want it to be a quarter of an inch thick. If you really want it to be pretty, though, you want enough red drops to cover the top of the pie crust.
Yeah.
And then the first thing you're going to notice is how pretty it is. And then you're going to taste it, and you're going to find out, wow, this is pretty good stuff.
That sounds like a good cookie for Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's a good cookie to take anywhere. If you've got something you need to do quickly, and you've got those ingredients, you've got a pie crust that's thawed out and ready to go, you can have that on your table and ready to take with you in 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Delicious. Well, thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
And if anybody else wants to share a recipe, that can certainly be done as well. 740-383-9944. It's the recipe show today. Kind of interesting. A few weeks ago, I was complaining about apple butter, how you could not get a good apple butter in a store. And somebody told me that you just take a jar of applesauce and you drop the Red Hots in it, and then you cook that in the microwave, and it'll taste like apple butter.
Really?
Somebody said that.
Really?
I usually go to the Amish and get mine. It's really...
Yeah, I've had the Amish. Yeah. I just don't make it to the Amish enough because I'm not addicted to their potato salad, right. So I don't make it over there to get the apple butter.
Sure.
But, you know,
Next time I go, I'll
pick me up some apple butter? Sure. Oh, well, problem solved.
Yeah.
But the apple butter red hot thing I thought was pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, this other recipe that I was thinking of, you know, for the Jell-O had the applesauce and the red hots and the... And then it had a topping of cream cheese with celery and nuts in it. And you just spread that on top of the Jell-O. But anyway, there's another recipe here that I really like, too. It's creamed hamburger and cabbage.
Oh.
And it's real easy. It's 3/4 pound ground beef, 1 tablespoon minced onion, 4 cups chopped cabbage. Now that's a lot of cabbage. 1/2 teaspoon celery seed, 1/2 teaspoon paprika, 1 can cream of celery soup, 1/4 cup of milk, salt and pepper. You brown the meat, add the onion and cabbage, cook until lightly browned, add the remaining ingredients, cook covered for 10 minutes and it's done. But wow. it's very tasty. Yeah.
Now, what was when your kids were at home, what was something that was a staple that you would cook every week?
Well, I tell you, we had our own Angus beef, and so we had a lot of chuck roasts, and we had a lot of hamburgers. I had the a lot of it ground into hamburger, and we ate a lot of beef because of that.
You know, I think it's the meat is not bad for you. It's the sugar in the flour.
Yeah.
That really puts the hurting on people over a period of time. I think that's what people have to watch.
I didn't realize until, you know, going through this whole diabetic, boy, sugar is just, man, it's bad.
You know that hardtack candy? I can't stand that stuff.
Really?
Oh, man. It just, people always have that laying out at Oh, have some hardtack candy. They're so proud of it. And I can't stand it.
Yeah.
It looks like a shattered glass.
Oh, it does.
But do you like the taste of it?
Yes.
No, I could never get into it.
I like it while I'm eating it, but then afterwards, I don't like the aftertaste of it.
Yeah, it's got a weird. Yeah. I'm not even sure how you make hardtack.
Yeah. Well, I don't know either. I think it takes a lot of heat to get it that.
Oh.
You know.
You have to get it to a certain.
Yeah.
You know, I tried to tell Charlie Evers a while back, because maybe we'll give this recipe in the next hour, because he found out, do you remember the everything sauce here in Marion, Mary Ellen?
No.
Used to be the famous hot dog sauce, and I'm going to try to give the recipe, if I can think of it, during the break that Charlie gave me, but it was a very hidden recipe, I guess, for a lot of years. At the hot dog stands.
Oh, yes. I've heard of that. Yes.
And I have the recipe for that.
Okay.
Because Charlie got it from a man who said, don't ever tell this recipe. So Charlie immediately got on the radio and told everybody what the recipe was. And I'm going to try to think that up during, because we made it one time on the air. We actually made it on radio.
Did you?
Yeah, we had an onion in the studio and the whole thing. And Charlie mixed it up and we had hot dogs in the studio. But I'm going to try to think that one up. And where in the world was I going with that?
Subject? Do you remember Lee's Steakhouse?
Yes.
Okay, Lee's Steakhouse rolls. Okay, I had the recipe for those, but they didn't turn out as well.
They didn't do as well. You got to have the big. Well, I found out that pizza sauce is what used to. My grandmother used to own a drive-in theater.
Uh-huh.
And she worked in the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
And she said people used to come from miles around to get the pizza. They didn't even want to see the movie. They just wanted to get the pizza. But when she would make that, and she didn't want to cook anymore. After a certain period in her life, she said, I don't want to cook anymore. But she made them one time, and she said they didn't taste like those pizzas because of the oven.
Oh.
You know, you had to use the heavy heat oven to bake them, you know, in 5 minutes rather than using your oven at home.
Yeah.
Plus the pie crust. You know, she would buy pie crust from the pie crust manufacturer in 1970, but the pie crust you get in the store are frozen now. See, the frozen pie or pizza crust, excuse me, those are bad. I don't like the frozen pizza crust. I think you got to make your own pizza crust.
I think so too. I buy frozen pizza once in a while, but every time I do, I wish I hadn't.
Yeah, it tastes like it's freezer burnt.
Yeah.
I tell you what, we're going to take a break here. I'm going to try to think of the everything sauce. We've got some more recipes coming up with Mary Ellen Withrow right after this.
In Ohio, the talking place. For Ohio State Senator Sherrod Brown on presidential contender and governor John Kasich.
On the other side, just a second to talk over on the Republican side. Our Kasich, last time I heard, has a percent approval rating in Ohio. He's running neck and neck with Donald Trump. Who's going to carry Ohio tonight?
Well, I don't know. I think it's close. I assume Kasich probably will win. He's the governor. But I also find it curious that John Kasich has lost, I think, all